time for the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show with Dana Rodriguez as your moderator tonight with the San Francisco Chronicle music critic, Joshua Cosman. And here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, David, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a lovely weekend and can join us over the course of the next hour for our show, which is nothing without you, because we are an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we're inviting your participation. We're not inviting it. We're pleading for it, basically. We'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, classical music, and just about everything else. So, all that being said, let me give you the numbers, and that would be 415-841-4134. I've been using this piece of paper for so long that I can barely read it anymore. 415-841-4134, or toll-free, yes, toll-free, is that we had a toll-free number, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. And just to remind you, Minds Over Matter has been on. This is our 23rd year, the longest-running quiz program anywhere in the United States on public radio. So there you go. 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Just to remind you of our email address, Minds Over Matter, MindsOverMatter at yahoo.com. All strung together, one word, MindsOverMatter at yahoo.com. We don't read the emails during the show, but they always get read. So thanks to all of those who email us. And don't text, just email, please. And if you'd like to hear our show online, you can do that anywhere in the world simply by going to kalw.org, kalw.org. If you like a podcast of this show, it should be available reasonably soon after tonight if you want to hear your voice again, or my voice, God forbid, at kalw.org. That's kalw.org. Okay, all that being said, there's just two of us tonight, so we can take more of your questions and take advantage of it while you can. And we'll start with this introduction here. In memory of the great Herb Cain, born 100 years ago today, Joshua Cosman will be separating all his questions with three dots.
That's true. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, thinks that Donald Trump is the modern-day Rigoletto, except without the laughs.
All right. And all that being said, we'll begin with our guest, Joshua Cosman.
Okay. So I have a list of, eight movie actors here, all of whom have played composers in films of greater or lesser note. You'll probably know a lot of them. Maybe you can take two or three and leave some for the listeners.
Are these classical composers or general composers?
Classical composers, broadly understood.
All right.
So I'll give you the list is in alphabetical order. Dirk Bogarde, Richard Burton, Richard Chamberlain, Hugh Grant, Katharine Hepburn, Ben Kingsley, Gary Oldman, and Billy D. Williams. One more time. I'll give you the whole list. Dirk Bogarde, Richard Burton, Richard Chamberlain, Hugh Grant, Katharine Hepburn, Ben Kingsley, Gary Oldman, and Billy D. Williams. You'll notice I left Cornell Wilde off the list.
Yeah, I heard. Billy D. Williams played Scott Joplin.
Yes, he did.
I guess it's the Scott
Just
Joplin.
Called Scotland.
Is it? Okay. And Richard Burton played Wagner, I think.
That's correct.
I guess the film is called Wagner.
Yes, it is.
All right. I haven't seen it.
I haven't.
All right. Well, I'll leave it there.
All right.
Okay.
Give yourself a couple of bells for those.
All right. Why don't you just read the list once more?
The list once more. Dirk Bogarde, Richard Chamberlain, Hugh Grant, Katharine Hepburn, Ben Kingsley, and Gary Oldman.
Yes. Richard Chamberlain was in the weirdest of the group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The question was, all of these actors have played classical composers on the big screen. What composer and in what movie? Right. Dana got Richard Burton as the title role in the Wagner biopic, and Billy Dee Williams playing Scott Joplin.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there? Anybody there? Hello? No? Try the next one. Hello, are you on?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, please.
I know that you're a Mr. Composer. I know who Dirk Bogarde played.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead.
Franz Liszt, Song Without End.
That's exactly right. There well done.
And I think Chamberlain played Tchaikovsky.
Yes, that's right.
The Music Lovers.
In The Music
right.
Lovers. Good.
And I think Ben Kingsley played Shostakovich. I forget the name of the film.
You are correct. The name of the film was Testimony. It was based on
this. Yeah, even though he doesn't look anything like him.
Well, no, he doesn't. But he...
No. I got a couple questions for you.
All right, go ahead.
Let's see. Who designed the Statue of Liberty?
Bartholdi.
No.
No, he didn't design it. Well, he was the sculptor. But
it was known for another. The guy who designed was known for another French landmark.
I was going to say, is it Eiffel?
Nope.
No.
He designed another French landmark.
Very recognizable.
Right. In Paris?
Yeah.
Huh. Is it also a statue?
It's not a statue. It's an architectural. That's all I could say.
No, we don't know.
You don't know?
No.
Gustav Eiffel.
Oh, well, Josh said that.
I just pronounced it in a pretentious way.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, I got one question for you. Which three stars of the Addams Family appeared on the Batman?
John Astin did.
Yeah.
Yvonne DiCarlo.
Did she?
No, Yvonne DiCarlo was on the Munsters.
Oh, I was afraid of that, so I get them
Carolyn
confused.
Carolyn Jones.
Yeah, and the third one's kind of tough.
As a villain?
What?
Was the third one as a villain?
No, he was the one of cameos if you're on Batman.
Was it the fellow that played Lurch?
Yes, Gary Zuppenbell.
Ted Cassidy.
Ted Cassidy, very good.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
Carolyn Jones was on this and before we go on to questions, we got to clear up something from last week.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Last week, I
asked a question about who wrote symphonies named after these cities. One of the cities was San Francisco. Now there were two composers who wrote cities with symphonies called the San Francisco. One was Roy Harris, the better known of the two. The other is. Actually, maybe he's not the better known of the two. The other was a fellow named Wilson, who I didn't know too much about, but it turns out that he's a very well-known. It's Meredith Wilson, who wrote The Music Man.
Yeah.
And I've not heard the piece of music, so I don't know much about it. But yes, Meredith Wilson, who was a longtime director. He was a music director for Burns and Allen, and then wrote The Music Man and a couple other musicals as well. And anyway, so that's who it was.
Good.
There you go. All right. Couple of questions. What is the only country in the world where you do not call a citizen what you call a citizen, as in Albania, you call somebody from Albania an Albanian.
Yeah.
What is the only country in the world where you do not call a citizen of that country by the name of that country? In other words, you wouldn't call him...
Netherlands.
No.
You call them a Dutchman.
No, because that's...
No, it's not. That's you're looking for something even
not quite.
Hmm.
What is the only country in the world where you call the citizen of that country a name that has nothing to do with the name of the country?
It's not okay. Oh, I still like my answer, but I'll think of another. How about if we think
all
of
right,
a second?
All right, besides another one.
Another one.
All right.
Well, the Vatican.
That's right.
Because you'd call him Your Holiness or the Pope.
You call him a citizen of the Holy See.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, that's the official
name. Okay.
All right, very good. Okay. I'll give you something a little harder, I think. Let's see. All right. After Shakespeare, forget Shakespeare.
I've already forgotten.
All right. Who are the next 11 authors with the most movie adaptions of their works?
Huh.
After Shakespeare, who are the next 11 authors on the list with the most movie adaptions of their
adaptation.
Works?
Adaptation.
All right, adaptation. Yeah. That's true. I'm going to get some grief about that. And a second part of that question is, in the 20 most filmed authors of all time, who is the oldest one on the list?
Interesting.
So, after Shakespeare, forget Shakespeare, because he's number one, who are the next 11 authors with the most movie adaptations of their works? And of the top 20 most filmed authors, who is the oldest?
So can I assume from that that the oldest one is in the bottom nine of the, you know, is somewhere from
the
12
oldest
to 20?
One is not in the top 11.
Right.
So
what,
it's
yeah.
in the top 20.
Right. No, I understand.
Okay.
I would say Dickens has to be on the top 11.
Dickens
no?
is number two.
Okay.
Very good.
And Mark Twain.
No.
No.
Mark Twain is not even in the
huh.
is not even in the top 20, I think.
Interesting. All right, I'm going to think about that some more so we don't leave some.
All right.
All right.
Once more, after Shakespeare, who are the next the 11 authors with the most movie adaptations of their works? And Josh got Charles Dickens, who happens to be number 2. And in the top 20 of the authors with the most movie adaptations, who is the oldest author on that list? Okay.
Is the oldest author Homer?
No. Good guess, but no.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Colette from Bernal Heights.
Hi, Colette.
Who was the first president to be born in a hospital?
Jimmy Carter.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Colette.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We are here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. There's just two of us on the panel tonight, so we have more time to take your calls. Joshua Cosman from the San Francisco Chronicle, classical music critic. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. The number to call is area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255. And you're listening to us on, no surprise here, 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Nancy from Berkeley.
Hi, Nancy.
And Hugh Grant and Cornel Wilde both played Chopin.
That's right.
And
very good.
Hugh Grant, I can't remember the name of the movie, but it was with Judy Davis and Julian Sand played Liszt.
Exactly right.
And for the authors, Jane Austen and the Bronte girls.
Neither one.
Oh, wow.
Or none of the three, I should say.
And I have a movie for Joshua Cosman that he absolutely has to see.
I'm ready.
I saw it Friday. It was magnificent. And it's called Marguerite.
Marguerite. Oh, that's the one about Florence Foster Jenkins, right?
No.
Well, I mean, based
no,
on Florence Foster it's Jenkins.
It's kind of based a little bit on it. But it is one of the best movies I have ever seen.
Wow, you said a mouthful.
Oh, my God. It's just, it's glorious. Absolutely. I mean, you have to sit through this woman's horrible singing. And I have a question, which I think just left me. Oh, what was the name of the woman who wrote How to Write Your Own Gilbert and Sullivan Operetta and did parodies on Wagner?
Oh, Anna Russell.
Right.
Yeah, Anna Russell. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
The weird thing is Meryl Streep has that movie coming out.
I know. I noticed that,
about
too.
About Florence Foster Jenkins.
It's a thing. It's a trend.
Interesting. And haven't you sat through enough bad singing? Do you want to go see a movie?
Exactly.
That's bad singing in it? next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. Was one of the composers Gary Oldman?
Yeah.
Didn't he do Beethoven in Dearly Beloved?
Exactly. Right. Immortal Beloved. Well done. Yes.
Immortal Beloved.
Yeah.
And the Hugh Grant movie was Impromptu.
Exactly.
There you go.
Yes.
Good job.
Also, I just wanted, have you ever heard Joe Stafford sing off key?
Yes, and she's great.
She does it as Darlene something. She's on YouTube. It's
Yeah. Joe Stafford and Paul Weston, who accompanies her, yeah.
Yes. there's actually a picture
Darlene,
of the album cover.
What's her?
Him playing the piano with two left hands.
Very good. Yeah, Darlene Edwards, David.
Darlene Edwards. That is all I have.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
And Josh, it's your turn.
Okay. I wasn't going to bring this out again. I've asked this question before, but it's a question I like, and Jerry hates it, so as long as she's here, we'll throw it
he's
out
not
again.
Here.
He's not, since he's not here, rather.
Right.
There are 10 countries in the world with four-letter names.
I think we just had
this. We just had this? All right.
I mean, literally like 3 weeks ago.
All right.
I think,
well, so. Then we won't go back to it
all
again.
Right. All right.
Let's see. What else have I got here? What is the – what sports team – in the four major sports leagues, has the smallest home city?
So hockey, basketball, football, and baseball.
Correct.
Smallest home city. Can you tell me how small it is?
Real small. No. I mean, like how many? No.
Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Well done.
All right.
Okay.
well, give us...
No.
All right. Okay. All right, let's see. Let's ask a film/opera question here.
Excellent.
I'm going to give you six actors, and I want you to tell me they all starred in adaptations of operas.
Mm-hmm.
Some with music, some without, but they're all taken from the basic stories of the operas involved.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, number one, Laurel and Hardy. It's actually two for Laurel and Hardy. Number two, Lillian Gish. Number three, Grace Moore. And that was actually a singing involved. That's a real story of the opera.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, Cary Grant. Number five, Greta Garbo. And number six, Sophia Loren. So all these actors starred in films based on operas. Number one, Laurel and Hardy. There are two answers there. Number two, Lillian Gish. Number three, Grace Moore. Number four, Cary Grant. Number five, Greta Garbo. Number six, Sophia Loren. I'll give you two answers.
Yeah, good luck with that. Sophia Loren was in a film adaptation of Aida.
Oh, very good. I thought that would be a little tough.
No, that's the only one
have
I
you
know.
Seen that?
No.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
Greta Garbo was in a
good
film
job.
Called... it's not really an opera. It was sort of a more of a musical, but she was in a movie called Ninotchka, which was based on Silk Stockings by Cole Porter.
No.
That's my way of saying it. I got nothing.
All right. Okay.
Cary Grant? Yeah. No, I'm tapped out.
All right. So once more, these actors starred in films based on operas. Number one, Laurel and Hardy. Two answers to that. Number two, Lillian Gish. Number three, Grace Moore, who really was an opera singer. Number four, Cary Grant. Number five, Greta Garbo. Josh got Sophia Loren, who was in a film of Aida, 1953. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Billy from Bernal.
Hi, Billy.
I got caught on this one. I already had Dickens, and I had Beethoven and Tchaikovsky, and Green Bay. But how about Somerset Maugham?
Yes, Somerset Maugham is number 11, or 10 on the list, I should say.
How about O. Henry?
No.
Fitzgerald?
No.
Okay, I got a question for you.
All right.
What is the city with the most bridges in the world?
Hmm. So they could be big, small?
It's a known city. I mean, it's a big city.
Right. Is it a city built on a series of islands?
I was going to say, what about Venice? I mean,
or
Stockholm. It's in the top five.
Yeah.
But it's not the first.
Stockholm?
No.
Amsterdam.
That's number two.
Ah.
Huh.
Can you tell us?
This took me by surprise, I'm going to say.
Can you tell us what part of the world it's in?
It's in Europe.
Okay. With the most bridges.
Yeah, I thought Amsterdam would be at the first. But
mm-hmm.
It's number two.
And is it a capital city?
Not a capital, but a major city.
Right. Major city. It's in Europe. St. Petersburg?
No.
Ooh, good guess.
It has to have at least couple of rivers running through it.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think. Berlin?
No, but you're in the right country.
Oh, Germany. Well, is it on the? Is it near the a major body of water?
It's inland, just a little bit.
Tiny bit.
Which means it's, you know, like an estuary, or whatever.
So
is it Hamburg?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
No kidding.
Very good.
Yes, it's Hamburg.
Interesting.
Good.
Yeah, it's Hamburg with 2,300 bridges.
Wow.
Amsterdam has 1,281.
Boy, that's a steep drop.
Really? Yeah, huge.
Great.
Number three is New York.
Huh.
And Pittsburgh is number four.
Pittsburgh?
446.
Because they got three rivers to cover.
Right. All right, Billy,
thank you. Thanks.
All right, take it easy. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. You there? Nobody? All right, next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, hi. I had a guest for the authors whose books have been adapted for film.
Yes.
Yeah, is Ian Fleming one of them?
Ian Fleming is just out of the top 11.
Ah, okay. Well, that's all I had.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's see. It's your turn, Josh.
Okay. I was going to spring this when Jerry was around, but... This is a golden age of TV question. Between 1952 and 1966, which was the first years of the Emmys, every winner of the Emmy for Best Comedy had a title that included the name of the show's star, except for one. Can you A, name which, say which one was the exception? And the other one, there were seven names in the other ones. How many of them can you name? The Emmy winners for Best Comedy in the first years of the award from 1952 through 1966, they all had the name of the star in the title. Six of the seven were, you know, the Joe Blow Show. But there was one exception. What was the exception, and how many of the seven names can you come up with?
Was the Andy Griffith Show one of them?
No.
Okay. Is the Alan Young Show one of them?
No. Who's Alan Young?
Alan Young? He was the guy in Mr. Ed, but he had his own... Early on, he had his own show.
Well, it didn't win an Emmy.
Red Buttons Show.
Red Buttons is not correct.
I'm starting at the... Working my way in.
Okay.
From the borderlands. Sid Caesar?
No.
Oh. Oh, not doing very well here. Okay. All right. Just read that one.
Sure. So between 1952 and 1966, every winner of the Emmy for Best Comedy Show had a title that included the name, first name, last name, or full name of the show's star, except for one. What was the exception? And then the follow-up is how many of those names, there are seven in all, can you come up with?
How about the Dick Van Dyke Show?
Yes. There you go.
Okay.
That was one.
All right. There we are. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
I thought I'd start with the best comedy because I don't think I would do well there. Red Skelton?
Correct.
There you go.
What about the exception? Would that be Sergeant Bilko?
No.
Okay. Did you get all of the composers?
We were missing one.
Katharine Hepburn?
Yes.
Isn't she Anna Schumann?
Schubert. Schumann is right, but there's no Anna.
Oh, I didn't know her first name. Oh, I thought it was Anna.
It's Clara.
Yeah.
But you're you
were close.
You're right in there. Yes.
Was Clara, it called Song of Love?
Yes.
Yes.
That's exactly right.
Okay. What about the writers?
Okay.
Chekhov?
No.
Ooh.
And Williams?
And...
Tennessee?
Oh, no.
Okay. Well, let's see how I do on the operas.
All right.
Laurel and Hardy, Babes in Toyland, that wasn't based on an operetta, was it?
Well, that's an operetta. I think these are straight operas.
Okay. Now, didn't they make an opera of Scarlet Letter?
They've done that as a movie a couple of times.
But I thought they made an opera of it recently.
But
That wouldn't
but
apply.
But he's looking for movies based
these
on
were,
operas.
These were actually operas before the movies were made.
Okay. What about Cary Grant for Madame Butterfly?
That is correct. Madame Butterfly.
Really?
He played Lieutenant Pinkerton, yes. It was a straight version. It wasn't
I've never
singing
heard of
involved.
Such thing.
Sylvia Sidney was
based
the,
on the opera
the
or based on the Belasco play?
I think it was actually based on the opera.
Huh.
I'm not. I have to look it up.
I think it was based on the opera.
Okay.
Garbo, is it Traviata?
Yes, it's Camille.
Yeah.
No, that's not based on the opera.
Well, I mean, in a roundabout way it is.
Well, no, it's based on the same
place. It's the same story.
Yes, but the... Okay.
Don't fight with him.
I'm going to take this off the air.
All right.
Okay,
all right.
Good. Now, I have a question that's in the actor realm.
Yes.
And basically, I'm looking like for five answers. And I'll give you the really easy ones first, because I know you're going to knock them out of the park. And then I don't
Every
know.
Time somebody says that, I don't. But
okay. So anyway, these are novels written by actors.
Oh.
So something like Shop Girl.
Oh, Steve Martin.
Right. And the last of the really great Wang Doodles.
Ooh. Last of the...
Ooh, it's got harder very quickly.
Is that Fanny Flagg?
No.
That's a good guess.
The last of the really great Wang Doodles.
All right, go on.
Wanderer.
Oh, Sterling Hayden.
Voices in the Garden.
Doesn't sound familiar to me at all.
I know. That's why I called. Basically, he's one of the actors who was a composer in your list today.
Ooh.
Oh.
And what's the title?
It's called Voices in the Garden. He's written a mess of books, it turns out.
Huh.
I think he did this after he retired.
Dirk Bogarde.
Yes.
Ah.
I knew that he had written novels. I didn't know that title.
Good job.
And then the other one is Paradise Alley.
Oh, Paradise Alley. That sounds very familiar.
It's a Sylvester Stallone movie.
Exactly. And the one, I thought you would get the last of the really great Wang Doodles. That was Julie Andrews.
Oh.
Oh. Is that a children's book?
It's a children's novel.
Oh. All right.
So, thanks for the bell.
Oh, thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm going to make another guess at a writer. How about Tolstoy?
Yes. 169 adaptions of
wow.
His.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where is he on the list?
He's number 5.
Okay. I'm keeping the list in order.
Or 6, actually. After.
Oh.
Yes. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. James in Berkeley.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Can I just leave a question with you?
Sure.
Okay. Can you name the mountain whose peak is furthest from the center of the earth? And it's not in the Himalayas.
Huh. The mountain whose peak is furthest from the center of the earth.
Right.
And it's not in the Himalayas.
Right.
Is this mountain visible above the water?
Yes.
Okay.
It was climbed by Alexander von Humboldt
in
1802.
Is it in Alaska, then?
It is not.
Okay. Is it in North America?
It is not.
Ah. Okay. I've got to think about this now. Humboldt. It was just a book about him. So I have to read. 1802. Can you tell us what part of the world the mountain is in?
Yeah, well...
Without giving too much away? If you can't, you can't.
Yeah, let's just say that it has to do with the actual shape of the Earth, which is not a sphere.
Oh. Okay. That's not as much help as I'd hoped, but... Josh?
I don't know. I had figured that part out, and then I said, well, that's where my knowledge of geology and geography...
Humboldt traveled everywhere. I'm just trying to think. Is it South America?
Yes, it is.
Okay. What is the tallest mountain in South America, Josh?
Okay, I'll give you even a little more of a clue.
Does it start with an A?
The shape of the Earth is an oblate spheroid because of the spin of the Earth. It tends to fatten out toward the equator.
I'm just trying to remember it's probably not this, the tallest mountain in South America. Is it Annapurna?
No.
And that's as far as I can go.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I'm not pulling my weight here. I don't know any
that's
mountains.
That's all right. I'm not pulling my weight either.
All right. Shall we leave it, or shall I tell you?
Tell us.
Okay, it's Mount Chimborazo.
Oh.
Where is it?
It's in Ecuador.
Mm. Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry we didn't do better with your question. Thank you very much.
Well, that's all right. I didn't have much that I could help you with on your question.
Okay.
How about can we add Tom Hulse to Joshua's list of composers?
Go ahead. Ask it and answer it. Oh, if you want
me to ask?
Yeah, it's, he was the title role in Amadeus.
Right, right. Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. All right, let's give you some more presidential campaign slogans. So we have a few. These are all 20th century, and there are some losing candidates, major party candidates here too, okay? So these are all 20th century presidential campaign slogans, and there are a couple of losing candidates here as well. All right, number one, Cox, C-O-X, and cocktails. Cox and cocktails. Number two, the stakes are far too high to stay at home. The stakes, not the meat.
Mm-hmm.
The stakes are far too high to stay at home. Number three, a better man for a better America.
Mm.
And when you hear the answer, it'll make perfect sense to you. The better man for a better America. Number four, we are turning the corner. We are turning the corner. Number five, Roosevelt for ex-president. Roosevelt for ex-president. Number six, in your guts, you know he's nuts. Number six, in your guts, you know he's nuts. And number seven, restore our future. Restore our future. Which doesn't make much sense to me. And that is the newest one, Restore Our Future. So again, these are presidential campaign slogans, all 20th century. There are some losing candidates involved as well. Number one, Cox and cocktails. Number two, the stakes are too high to stay at home. Number three, the better man for a better America. Number four, we are turning the corner. Number five, Roosevelt for ex-president. Number six, in your guts, you know he's nuts. And number seven, restore our future. Josh, I'll give you two guesses.
Yeah, good luck. So in your guts, you know he's nuts. There was a real slogan that was something like, in your heart, you know he's right. And I think that was about – I'm going to guess that this is like Pat Paulson running against Nixon in 68 or 72.
No,
or
you're kind of nibbling around it, but that's not
but
it.
But am I right that it's a parody of the actual
– yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
it was Nixon, wasn't it? In
no,
your heart
– not Nixon.
Goldwater. It was Goldwater. In your heart. So this is Johnson's actual slogan against him?
Well, this is one of the slogans that they
used. Wow.
Yeah.
In your guts, you know he's nuts.
Yeah. Johnson, 1964.
Okay. And
good job.
Roosevelt for ex-president, I'm just going to guess Wilkie and...
Wilkie.
That was right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wilkie, 1940.
Well, I guessed Wilkie last week and it was wrong. So, and that's all I know. None of these really say much of anything to me.
All right.
The stakes are too high to take them off the stove now. Cox and cocktails. What does that even mean, Cox and cocktails? I don't know.
All right. So presidential campaign slogans, all 20th century, the ones that are left, Cox and cocktails. Two, the stakes are too high to stay at home. Number three, the better man for a better America. Number four, we are turning the corner. And the last one is restore our future. And we are about halfway through the show, so let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Josh, you go ahead.
Let's see. My composer and actors have all been answered, but I'm looking for the shows, the Emmy-winning comedy shows between 52 and 66, there was a stretch of them where all of them had the name of the show's star, either just the first name or the last name or the full name, except for one. There was one show that was the exception. What was that show? And how many of the seven names can you come up with? Thomas got Red Skelton and Dick Van Dyke, or you got Dick Van Dyke.
Right.
And so there's five more out there of people who lent their names to Emmy-winning comedy shows between 52 and 66.
Is the Danny Thomas show one of them?
What's the name of the Danny Thomas show?
Make Room for Daddy.
Yes, that's the exception.
Okay. So it was also known as the Danny Thomas show.
Was it?
But, you know,
it's on the rolls of the Emmys as Make Room for Daddy.
All right. Okay. And let's go to a call.
What are your questions?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Well, I'll take the call first and I'll give it. I'm sorry, caller. Go ahead.
Good evening. This is Ed. How are you?
Good.
Hi. So you mentioned two very beautiful ladies, Karen Jones and Yvette Carlo.
Who was the other one?
Caroline Jones.
Oh, Carolyn Jones, right.
Yeah, and Yvette Carlo. Correct. Now they're joined by Patty Duke.
Patty Duke, right.
Such beautiful ladies. In any case, it doesn't say much about life. So last week when I answered the question about elements,
yes,
I mentioned hafnium for Copenhagen and holmium for Stockholm and lutetium for Paris. And everybody should know that this is Latin words. It doesn't have anything to do with the English words. For instance, like earth. Which element named after earth?
Tellurium.
Tellurium. Right.
Yeah. So it really is. And the same thing with the moon and everything else. Okay. There is one element, in actual, its name comes from Old English, means headache remedy. It's medicine people use when they have headache, especially after drinking. Do you know which one?
I'm sorry, did you say this was an element?
An element, yeah. The name comes from Old English, which comes from headache remedy. So you get drunk and you get headache, and then you,
Is there any connection that somebody had ever taken this for a headache remedy?
Yeah, you do it yourself. Chicken soup. Well, I also will add to it, the actual chemical sample from it comes from ancient Egypt, which is Na.
Na is sodium.
Sodium it is. Yes. Good job. Yes. So the chicken recipe for Jewish mother come all the way back from ancient Egypt. Truly. And does help.
All right.
Okay. Second question I have is, Forbes magazine just came with the most educated cities, most educated 25 cities, and least educated 25 cities. Unfortunately for us, neither Berkeley, San Francisco, or the Bay Area altogether came number one. They came number 12 and 13. Which city came number one, the most educated city in the whole United States?
Oh, United States.
Yeah.
Okay. Huh.
Cambridge, Massachusetts.
No, it came behind that city.
Okay.
I actually went to school there for about a semester. Yeah. Sorry.
How about?
Yeah.
Palo Alto, California?
No, not California. Actually, three of the worst cities were in California, including Visalia and a few cities around the valley, which is despicable, which really sad.
But so you're looking for the most
city in the Midwest.
It's a city in the Midwest.
It has a very famous university, which I attended for one semester.
A
long time ago, 1970. It also have a city which was very famous for great auto factories, and that was decimated, and they had a lot of problem with water recently.
Flint, Michigan?
Detroit?
Not Detroit. Flint. I mean, what is the most famous university?
Flint.
Huh? What's the most famous university in Michigan?
Oh, Ann Arbor.
Yeah. Ann Arbor it is.
Right.
Ann Arbor it is.
That's a beautiful city.
Ah.
Thank you, guys. They're really sad about what happened to Cal and Stanford. All of this, local Bay Area university, which have been thrilling a lot for whatever reason.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ed. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Lori in, I guess, San Francisco. So I have a bunch of guesses for the authors.
Yes.
Okay, how many do we have left? Because I don't want to repeat.
I'll tell you the ones we have so far. Dickens, Leo Tolstoy, and Somerset Maugham.
Okay, so then I'm going to go for mine. What about Jane Austen?
No.
You'll be next up.
Okay, Tolkien?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last one.
Tolkien?
No.
Okay. Steinbeck?
No.
Conroy?
No.
Great, this is going well. Henry James?
No.
Edith Wharton?
No.
Ugh. And I was thinking, because like with Little Women, they've made a million of them, so I was thinking Louisa May Alcott?
No.
Okay, and then from the latest, I guess we'll call them authors, or, well, one I will. What about J.K. Rowling?
No.
Okay, I'm so sad. All right. And then for Laurel and Hardy, I was thinking The Barber of Seville.
Not the Barber of Seville.
Okay. Or Three Penny Opera?
No.
Okay, that's going well. All right, so then I have a quick question.
Yes.
Or you can ignore me. Okay, so for Best Actress over the years, to win Best Actress, 13 of the Best Actresses, the part they played was a certain kind of profession.
That they actually won or were just nominated?
That they won, I'm sorry.
13 of them have been the...
Is
13 women won the best Oscar for playing a
particular profession.
Is it prostitute?
Yeah.
13.
Yeah, well, yeah. Different stripes of prostitutes, you know. Courtesan down to streetwalker. I mean, there's a kind of a variation here.
Okay, well, all right, whatever. And so can you name any of them, or do you want to? All right.
Jane Fonda and Clute.
Yeah.
That was the first one that I thought of, but...
Helen Hayes in The Sin of Madeleine Claudet.
Yes.
Wow.
That's really impressive.
I'm just trying to go chronologically. That's how I figured it out.
Oh, but that's not completely chronologically.
Somebody before that, then.
Yes. In fact, in the first Oscar...
Oh, Janet Gaynor for Seventh Heaven or Street Angel.
Street Angel, and she won for three, right? But
right. Street Angel, right.
I was just going to say, I can't remember whether Audrey Hepburn won for Breakfast at Tiffany's.
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. No.
Okay.
And, I guess you could make an argument Susan Hayward played kind of a B-girl for I Want to Live.
Yeah, but that's, she's not a...
Barbara Graham?
She's not a prostitute.
Okay, and that's the cheesiest one, and yes, that's counted.
That's counted in the list? But everything
else... It is
else
on the list, and it's the most questionable one.
Okay.
Okay. I have to think about this. I'd have to go through, like, year by year
head. That's what I'm trying.
But I'm not fast enough to do it any other way.
Yeah, and I don't want to torture you.
This isn't torture.
You can leave it out if you like, and we can let other people guess at it.
Sure, that's fine.
Okay. All right, so why don't you just repeat the question, and then for folks.
Okay, so as you guys figured out, the most popular profession for women in films, which I think is super, is prostitute.
Right.
It was nice to know there was one opera or composer. Anyway, moving along. And there are 13 of those, and you've gotten... The first one, so from the first Oscars it started, right? So you got Gaynor for Street Angel, Helen Hayes for Sin of Madeleine. You'll have to do the French. Also Fonda for Clute.
Okay. So we're going to put you on hold, and then you can give the rest of the list to David, okay?
I think I can handle that.
All right, thanks.
Okay, although I'm going to be making money. Sorry. Honey? Oh, bye. Okay.
All right, bye. All right. Here's a question, sort of in your ballpark, John.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What composer or performer are these classical pieces of music dedicated to?
Okay.
All right. So there's only three. Vaughan Williams Symphony No. 5, Cacciatorian Violin Concerto, and the Bruckner Symphony No. 3. So what famous composer or performer are these pieces of classical music dedicated to? Number one, the Vaughan Williams, Ray Vaughan Williams, Symphony No. 5. Number two, Aram Khachaturian, Violin Concerto. And number three, the Anton Bruckner, Symphony No. 3.
Well, this is humiliating. I don't know anything. I just heard the Bruckner Third like a couple months ago at the Symphony. I'm trying to remember.
Read the program notes next time.
I should read the program notes more carefully. I do read the program. The only guess I have for that is Wagner.
You're right.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Would you say it was heavily influenced by
Wagner? Yeah. Oh, it is. But, I mean, yeah, it's full of Wagnerian stuff, but it's full of other stuff too.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, you're right.
All right.
You're right. Wagner.
And Vaughan Williams Symphony No. 5. Yeah. I don't know that piece. Nor do I know who it's dedicated to.
And you can see the influence of this particular person in the symphony because I am familiar with the symphony.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. All right. And let's go to a call. Can we do that? All right. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Tom from Oakland.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. Let's see, I've got some of the answers for the Emmy shows, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
How about Milton Berle?
No.
That's a good guess, but no.
Good guess, but wrong.
Lucille Ball?
Yes. I love Lucy.
Yeah, I've heard of that show.
Of course.
And for some of the authors, how about Alexandre Dumas?
Yes, that's number three on the list.
Yay!
Very good.
Mickey Spillane?
No.
Shoot. Oh. thought a lot of
well, Mickey Spillane is the Alexandre Dumas of his day, I suppose.
Well, he is an author. Let's see. And the, let's see, the political slogans, Cocks and Cocktails, is that Al Smith?
No, but you're in the right decade.
Yeah, Hoover?
Keep going back.
I can't.
All right.
Was it a winner? Taft?
Yes, it was a winner, as a matter of fact.
Taft, then.
Not Taft, no.
That's too early.
Mm-mm.
Harding?
Yes, Harding. Very good.
Yay.
Cox. James Cox ran against him, and they were... Yeah, you vote for Cox, and you're going to bring back, end Prohibition, though for some reason, that would seem to be attractive to more people than unattractive, but we'll see.
I wonder why. let's see, and I've got a couple of questions regarding birds and states. What state bird is for is, let's see what's the better phrases. What state bird is named for a state that is not that state?
Oh.
Oh, interesting.
Interesting.
A little obscure. It's kind of the scientific name.
Is it an East Coast state?
No.
All right. If you gave us the type of bird, would that give the answer away?
No, and it would actually probably make it a little more hard. It's a seagull.
Oh.
And it is a landlocked state.
Huh. Oh, Utah.
That's right. Yeah, it's the California seagull.
Because that famous story of the seagulls coming to eat the locusts who were eating the crops and that they planted. Yes.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay.
Good get.
Yeah.
And then one other. What state's capital has a statue of a bird outside of it, which doesn't live in the state?
Is it another instance of that bird being important to the state in some way?
Not at all. It's an instance of the government screwing up.
Okay.
Huh. So there are two states involved. One of the states, they both ordered statues of this bird, and they were delivered to the wrong capitals.
Is this a mythical bird or a real bird?
No, it's a real bird.
Okay.
I don't know about
a phoenix or something.
Oh, phoenix in Arizona.
Yeah,
you think?
Would it give it away to give us the state?
It's Alaska.
Alaska, and the bird is not from Alaska. Alaska,
and the bird is a state symbol of the other state.
Is it the pelican from Louisiana?
It is the pelican, yes.
Oh, very good. Very good.
All right. I mean, when you said state birds, I started thinking about pelicans.
The pelican
but I couldn't
state, yeah.
Figure out how to make
right,
it connect.
Right.
Yeah, they both ordered statues of the birds, and the federal government said after the statues were made, they sent them to the wrong places.
Interesting.
And the other one was the bald eagle. So Louisiana took it, and in Juneau, they decided, well, screw it, we'll just install it anyway.
All right. So. There you go. All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.
All right, bye-bye.
So that inspires me to a question.
All right, let me just repeat the question, because
okay, sure.
I never got a chance. My fault. The presidential campaign slogans we have left that nobody's answered yet are, these are all 20th century. Most are winners, but a couple are losers. The stakes are too high to stay at home. A better man for a better America. We are turning the corner and restore our future. And that's the newest one. What composer or performer are these pieces dedicated to, classical pieces of music? The ones we have left are Ray Vaughan Williams Symphony No. 5 and the Aram Khachaturian Violin Concerto. After Shakespeare, who are the next 11 authors with the most movie adaptations of their works? The ones we have so far are Charles Dickens, Alexander Dumas, Leo Tolstoy, and Somerset Maugham. And these actors starred in films based on operas, the ones we have left. Laurel and Hardy, and there are two answers to that, Lillian Gish and Grace Moore. Okay,
go ahead. And you were also asking for, of the top
20. Oh, yeah, right. Of the 20 most filmed authors, who is the oldest one on that list? So, good. All right.
So the last caller's question just inspired me to ask you, what is the most prominent geographical location in the Bay Area to be named after a pelican?
Is it a non-English language name for a pelican?
It is.
Okay. Yes, I have heard this. And is it out in the – it's like an island or something out in the – outside of the gate?
I'm not going to
– It's Pelican Island. Like the Farallon – not Farallon, but it's
something – you're in the right ballpark.
I am.
But I'm not going to give it to you.
Okay, it'll come to me maybe in time.
All right,
there you go. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, Michael.
Okay, let's see, the authors.
Yes.
Hemingway's not on the list?
Hemingway is just outside of the top 11.
Okay. How about Robert Ludlum?
No.
Stephen King?
Yes, Stephen King is the only living author on the list.
Oh, okay.
On the list of the top 11, anyway.
Okay. How about Damon Runyon?
No.
Henry Miller?
No.
Okay, well, that's it for that. I'd say of the oldest on the list would be Dumas.
My question was of the top 20, of the 20 most filmed authors. The ones I'm basically asking are the top 11. But of the top 20, who is the oldest one on that list?
Oh, okay, I misunderstood. All right, comedies with named after the stars. Milton Berle wasn't on there, huh? How about Jackie Gleason show?
No.
Oh, right.
The Phil Silvers show?
Yes, Phil Silvers is correct.
Now, somebody asked about Sergeant Bilko.
Yes, but I was...
And that's...
Is that the same show? I thought that was...
Actually, the actual name of the show is...
Phil Silvers show.
Is You'll Never Get Rich.
Okay.
That's the actual name of the show, but it's also, you know, it's become known as the Phil Silvers show and the...
That's
and
all the
Sergeant
same show?
Bilko. It's all the same show.
I thought those were separate iterations,
no.
Like I Love Lucy and the Lucille Ball.
All the same show.
All right, I beg your pardon then.
Okay. How about the Donna Reed show?
No.
Okay. That's it for those.
All right.
The question about the Oscar winners, I think Elizabeth Taylor won an Oscar.
Oh, Butterfield 8.
Sure.
That's a
good one, yes.
That's good.
I was wondering, are you giving me bells and all? Okay.
Yeah.
Finally, the question you just threw out, Josh.
Yeah.
You were jumping all around it, Dana. It's Alcatraz. Pelican.
Oh, okay.
Yes, that's exactly right. Well done.
All right, I knew it was around there someplace.
Yep.
Good job.
And that's all I have for
All right.
Tonight.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Joe from The Hate.
Hi, Joe.
Among the most adapted authors, does the Bay Area's own Philip K. Dick make the list?
I'm afraid not.
Not even the top 20?
I don't remember everybody after number 11, but I don't think so.
Wow. Because he's had so many movies made from his novels.
He has.
Okay, that's all I got.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there? No? Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Robert and Karen in Bernal Heights.
Hi.
And did you... So you got the show, that the comedy show that didn't have the star's name in it?
Yeah.
Okay. Did Ernie Kovacs win?
No, he didn't.
No, he
should have.
For authors, yes. Most filmed, how about Arthur Conan Doyle?
That's so weird, but no, he's not in the top 11 anyway.
How about Agatha Christie?
Yes, Agatha Christie is a number of...
how about Steinbeck?
No.
And for ones I hope aren't on the list, Danielle Steele?
No.
Jacqueline Suzanne?
No.
How about Poe for the oldest?
No.
All right. Do you have time for a question?
Yes.
Somebody called in about state birds, and I have a state bird question that I'll call in with later. But do you know which state has jousting as the state sport?
Maryland.
You are absolutely right.
I guess that's one of those things that once you learn it, you don't
forget. I guess
forget.
So, yeah. Yeah.
You know which state, there's only one, has an official state cryptid, meaning something that doesn't actually exist.
Oh.
Huh.
That's interesting.
Is it Sasquatch?
Yeah, it's just like Sasquatch, but it would be like if Sasquatch were the official state cryptid of wherever Sasquatch lives.
Huh. I don't know.
Nope.
Don't know.
So, New Jersey has the New Jersey Devil, which is said to inhabit the Pine Barrens.
Oh.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, hi, this is Greg calling from Los Angeles.
Hi, Greg.
The Oscar winners who played prostitutes, I'm pretty sure Charlize Theron.
Oh, Monster.
Of course. Monster.
She was a prostitute / serial killer. And then, I don't know if she just wants best actresses, but Mira Sorvino won best supporting actress for playing a prostitute in Mighty Aphrodite.
Right. Very good.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Mike. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, is this me?
It is you.
Hi, this is Arun from Los Gatos.
Hi.
With regard to the authors, is Alistair MacLean one of them?
No.
Graham Greene?
No.
P.J. Woodhouse?
No. Sorry.
Oh, dear. all right. So I have a question.
Very quick. We're almost done.
Yeah, very quick. So when Benicio del Toro won an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor for the film Traffic, right, he was only the second actor to win the Best Supporting Actor award in a role that required him to speak in a foreign language in an English language movie. In other words, he spoke Spanish.
Huh.
And the one who won the first, the Oscar, the Best Supporting Actor prior to him also spoke in a foreign language in an English language movie. Who was that actor?
Is that Dr. Hang Noor?
No.
In The Killing Fields?
No.
Okay.
This is a movie that everybody has seen.
Everybody has seen.
Very, very famous actor.
And spoke in a...
Is it Lawrence of Arabia?
No.
No, everybody speaks English in that.
I wish I had more time to think about this. We're almost out of time, though. You better tell us. I'm sorry.
It's Robert De Niro for Godfather 2. He speaks entirely in Italian.
Of course.
Great question.
Good job on that.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, time to clean up here. What do we got?
Just some leftover comedy shows. The Jack Benny Program and Art Carney special won an Emmy, and the Bob Newhart Show.
Okay. All right, presidential campaign slogans. The stakes are too high to stay at home. That also is Johnson, 1964. A better man for a better America. That's Bob Dole, 1996, running against Clinton. Obviously doing that. Let's see. We are turning the corner. Herbert Hoover, 1932. Restore our future. That was Mitt Romney, 1912. performers who had these pieces dedicated to them. Ray Vaughan Williams' Symphony No. 5 was dedicated to Sibelius. And Cacciatore and Violin Concerto was dedicated to David Oistra. The authors, movie adaptions of their works, the ones nobody got, Dostoevsky, Victor Hugo, Jules Verne, J.M. Barrie, and Edgar Rice Burroughs.
And who's the oldest one?
The oldest one is Sophocles.
Oh.
Sophocles. And these actors starred in films based on operas. Laurel Hardy in The Devil's Brother and The Bohemian Girl. Lillian Gish made a version of La Boheme. And Grace Moore was in Louise, a version of Louise. Anyway, we didn't get to your call. We do apologize. Please remember the Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. My thanks to David Lotulip, and of course my thanks to Josh Cosman for coming in and just being the two of us tonight. Thank you very much,
thanks,
Josh.
Thanks for having me.
Take care, everybody, and please join us next Sunday at 7, and we look forward to being with you again.
If it ain't this, you can't miss. It's got to be you, brother. Can't you see it's got to be one way or the other?
KALW is a media sponsor for the Jewish Community Center of San Francisco, which presents its 2016 Arts and Ideas season and invites you to hear HGTV series host The Property Brothers, Jonathan and Drew Scott. Jonathan and Drew will discuss everything from house flipping to concrete tips on selling, buying, and renovating your home. Sunday, April 10th at 3 in the afternoon. For information, go to jccsf.org/arts. This is KALW San Francisco.